Can I just say something? Wednesday night, I had the disaster, you know, the Southern Baptist Disaster Relief? They gave me, they had a semi-truck from the Black Forest Fire. And I have, you tell me what you want me to bring, but I got hot dogs, hamburgers, and chicken breasts. Can I bring them? And nobody else bring no meat? Kenny, is that okay? Okay, so I got the meat. Do you want all three of them?
Yes.
All right. All right, good. Yeah, for reals. I got so much. I got so much that I don't even have room for it. I got just incredible. Well, I'm excited tonight. We're going to be going through the book of Jonah. It's one of my favorite books. I've said that so many times in the Bible. I have many favorite books, but this is one of them. It really is. It's just I call it a little gem. There's so much there in this little book. It's only four chapters, and so I think we'll have no problem getting through it tonight. I'm not going to be as slow as Tony and crawl through it. We're going to zip through it. But I think you're going to get a lot out. There's so much there. You know, there's so much that we can learn, so much that we can just absorb through our Christian walk. We can learn about God, obedience, disobedience, consequence for disobedience. Song we just sang, God's mercy, God's unfailing love, His patience, His loving kindness. It's all in this book. So it's just a pleasure for me to be up here tonight and just teach this, to me, just fascinating books of the Bible. If you were given an assignment to preach the gospel to a band of convicted killers, would you go? It's a tough question, huh? This is the similar assignment that God gave Jonah. Jonah was a prophet born in Israel who was called by God to preach to the people of Nineveh, the capital city of Assyria. Not only was Assyria the most powerful empire in that day, it was also probably one of the largest cities, and definitely it was one of the ruthless, violent, an enemy of God's people. And so Jonah wasn't looking too forward for this task at all. So if you have a Bible, if you turn to Jonah, and we're going to pick up in chapter 1 there. But while you're turning there, if you haven't got there already, did you know there's 10 miracles? Could be debated there's 11 in this little book. I don't know if there's 11 miracles in any other book, that four little chapters like that in the whole Bible. So that's pretty amazing. So if you want to tonight, as a little assignment while we're going through this, see if you can find these 10 while we're going through. Some of them are obvious, but some of them you might not get. So here we go. Verse 1. Let's pray. Father God, I praise you. I thank you, Lord. I call upon you now as we sing that song, I need you. I need you, Lord. I pray that you would fill me with your spirit, that I'd make much of you and little about myself tonight, and that you would be glorified, Lord God, and you would bring people closer to you so that they can see and feel and know your amazing love and amazing grace and amazing mercy. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord gave this message to Jonah, son of Amittai. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh. Announce my judgment against it because I have seen how wicked its people are. But Jonah got up and went the opposite direction, to get away from the Lord. He went down to the port of Joppa, where he found a ship leaving for Tarshish. He brought a ticket and went on board, hoping to escape from the Lord and sail to Tarshish. Well, let's stop right there for a moment, huh? How about you? Have you ever run from God? Anybody? You don't have to lift your hand. Have you ever disobeyed him when he told you to do something? When you know for sure you heard God and you disobeyed him. I'm going to tell a little story about myself because I'm a storyteller. Some of you know that. You know, I might have shared this story with some of you before. But I'm going to tell you again, if some of you has heard it, sorry. You know, I was in the Army. This is back way back when I first was in. We were out in the middle of the ocean. And I worked in the Transportation Corps, and we were doing an exercise simulating that if a port was blowed up and how we would get supplies in and out. And so we're out in the middle of the ocean, and we're waiting for smaller ships to come and bring cargo to us. And so we probably had an hour, a little down. We call it downtime. And so I got my little Bible out, and I was in a little corner by myself, and I was reading the Word. And there was some, and I don't mean this in no prejudice way, but there were some black guys over here in this corner. And they were doing what they like to do sometimes when they're nothing else to do. They were cracking on each other. I don't know if anybody knows what that is except for me. Anybody know what that is? Wave your hand. Yeah? You know what cracking is, huh? Well, there's nothing like these guys when they want to start doing that. They can crack and they'll start on your head and down to your toes and your mama and your brother and your sister. And I don't know, I remember one time I was laughing and next thing I know, one of them's cracking on me. And, you know, I don't remember because it's really irrelevant, but he cracked in the wrong place. And I remember I got up and we got together and we had words. And I remember that they had to separate us. We were almost ready to duke it out. I don't even remember why to this day. It's not important. What's important is what follows. The ship came, the smaller ships, vessels, and we had to go back to work. So I'm off by myself. And it was like an audible voice. God said to me, go apologize to that guy. And I said, no. I did. I said no to God. And I'll never forget this as long as I live. Because, guys, I don't know if you've ever done that, but I just want to recommend something. Don't say no to the living God. Because what about to happen to me was frightening. He wanted me to apologize, and I said no, and I remember saying an excuse to him, just like we're going to see our little buddy Jonah here. I'm not going to because he'll just make fun of me. And all of a sudden, I start getting sick. I start breaking out in a cold sweat. My heart started to race. I start sweating. I thought it was going to drop dead. And I said, yes, God, I'll do it. I'll do it. I'll do it. I'll do it. I mean, you might think that's crazy, but this is a true story. I did not make this up. I never in my life had an experience like this again. And I don't ever want to. I learned to say yes after that. But I was frightened that I want to, if I get to heaven, I want to ask him, was I going to drop dead if I wouldn't have said yes? Because I was close to death if I've ever been in my life. And so, you know, just like we're going to see that Jonah finds out, the outcome that I thought was going to happen didn't happen. I remember saying something really dumb to God. I would say, okay, but I'm going to wait till he's by himself. Isn't it dumb how we do little things like that? But I did. I waited till I saw that guy off by himself, and I went up there and I put my hand out and I said, listen, I'm sorry. I said, I'm a Christian and I should have never talked to you like this. You know, the opposite of what I thought was going to happen. The dude started to tear up. Yeah. And he said, you know, my mama raised me better than that. I should have never acted like that myself. And we hugged each other and that was the end of it. But I learned a valuable, valuable lesson. It's better to obey God at the start. And I think our friend Jonah finds this out. You know, as the psalm that Pastor Tony read in Psalm 139, you know, I think that was written for Jonah. I'm just going to pick up in verse 7 and read it again. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the place of the dead, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. Jonah's about to learn a valuable lesson that it's better to obey God at the first, like I just said. But I think it's so funny that Jonah thought he could escape God. Any of you out there thought that? You don't have to answer that. Let's pick up in verse 4. But the Lord hurled a powerful wind over the sea, causing a violent storm that threatened to break the ship apart. Fearing for their lives, the desperate sailors shouted to their gods for help and threw the cargo overboard to lighten the ship. Notice it says to their gods. You know, these guys were pagans most likely. And their gods probably would have been the god of the sea and the god of the sky and the sun and the moon and maybe the storm too. I don't know. They had so many gods. They had a god for everything. And so it's kind of irrelevant though how it kind of ties in with this, especially as we get a little further on. So next verse. But all the time Jonah was sound asleep down in the hole. So the captain went down after him. How can you sleep at the time like this? He shouted, get up and pray to your God. Maybe he will pay attention to us and spare our lives. I find that interesting. Your God. I guess theirs wasn't working. That he had to switch to his. And think about this. They knew that he had a different God, didn't he? That they would say that like that. Your God. Has anybody ever said that to you? You know, I had a guy in the army once tell me that. I have to believe in your Jesus? Well, last I knew, he was the only one. He said he was the only one. Yeah, you do. And guess what? He said that, not me. He said he's the truth, the way, and the life. He's the one that said there is no other way. And so, yeah, you kind of got to believe in him. Really? I'm not that bad of a guy. That's what he said to me. And he really was. This guy that said that to me, it was so funny that he would say that when he was no good. And I'm not going to get into that because it's, but I just wanted to point out that he said that like that to me. Your God. Your Jesus. Yeah, he's my Jesus. Is he yours? Verse 7. Then the crew cast lots to see which of them had offended the gods and caused the terrible storm. When they did this, the lots identified Jonah as the culprit. Another interesting thing. Lots. They cast lots. You know, theologians are not sure what that actually was for sure. There's some different views about that. You know, do you remember when we were kids and we would break up sticks and we would pick the biggest stick and that one? A lot of people believe it's like that. Some people think it could have been like dice. But interesting that they would say offended the gods. You had to be talking about theirs because it obviously didn't offend our God because he had it fall on who? Jonah. I gave you a clue. There's a miracle there, isn't it? He had it fall on Jonah. I mean, there probably was a lot of sailors there. It could have fell on so many different people, but it just happened to fall on Jonah. So they did this, and the lots identified Jonah as the culprit. I read that. Jonah knew that the storm was his fault. He knew that. This wasn't no shock to him. But he didn't say anything until the crew cast lots, and the lot fell on him. He was keeping silent. He wasn't telling them who he was or why or anything. Verse 8. Why has this awful storm come down on us? They demanded. Who are you? What is your line of work? What country are you from? What is your nationality? Jonah answered, I am a Hebrew and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land. I like that because I think he's really referencing to their gods that are not really answering them at the time. Verse 10. The sailors were terrified when they heard this, for he had already told them he was running away from the Lord. Oh, why did you do it? They groaned. And since the storm was getting worse all the time, they asked him, what should we do to you to stop this storm? Throw me into the sea, Jonah said, and it will become calm again. I know that this terrible storm is all my fault. Instead, the sailors rowed even harder to get the ship to land. But the stormy sea was too violent for them, and they couldn't make it. How interesting that by trying to save Jonah's life, these pagan sailors showed more compassion than Jonah for the Ninevites. He hated them, the Ninevites. They were God's enemy. And he chose to run and disobey God. But yet these sailors, after he told them that, they tried to save him. They didn't throw him in right away. Isn't that interesting? Believers, you know, we should be ashamed of ourselves when unbelievers show more concern and compassion than we do. God wants us to be concerned for all his people, not just for believers, for all the lost. He wants them to be saved. And sometimes unbelievers show more compassion, don't they? I'm sure you've seen it. And I'm sure you've been embarrassed and ashamed that why didn't I step up? And you saw some heathen showed more mercy, more compassion than you did. You didn't have an ounce of compassion. I'm sure we've all been there. That's where Jonah was. Verse 14. Then they cried out to the Lord, Jonah's God. Oh, they refer to him as Jonah's God now. O Lord, they have pleaded, don't make us die for this man's sin, and don't hold us responsible for his death. O Lord, you have sent this storm upon him for your own good reasons. Then the sailors picked up Jonah and threw him into the raging sea, and the storm stopped at once. The sailors were awestruck by the Lord's great power, and they offered him a sacrifice and vowed to serve him. Check that out. God is able to use even our mistakes, even our disobedience, to help others come to him, as we just saw right there. As these sailors became believers, that they start worshiping God. Pretty awesome, isn't it? What a cool little... That's just chapter 1. Oh, I almost left out something. Verse 17. My favorite. Now the Lord had arranged for a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was inside the fish for 3 days and 3 nights. Notice it doesn't say whale, that you saw all the pictures when you were a little kid, that you heard in Sunday school, Jonah in the belly of the whale. Come on, everybody heard that, huh? It doesn't say that. It was a great fish. It could have been a whale shark. That's one of the biggest fish there is. It's 40 feet. It could have been, I think, maybe a great white shark. Because what a miracle that would be for a great white shark to come along and basically swallow a man whole and not bite him in quarters or halves. That would be an awesome miracle. We really don't know. But I lean towards the shark because it would have been a greater miracle. I don't think it was a whale. Because if it was the blue whale, which is like over 100, 120 feet, that would be like a semi-truck just driving in. Not such a great miracle. You know, God is such an awesome God that I think it was the great white shark. Because what a miracle. There's not known that any man would be swallowed by a great white. They would rip his arms. They just love to rip things. So for him to go inside a great white shark for 3 days, that would be a miracle, wouldn't it? Some people are shaking their head. There's been great white sharks that are as big as 25 feet, so they could swallow a man. So it is possible. And think about this. Has anybody ever had an MRI? Somebody has? The whole thing when they put your whole body in there? Yeah, who's had one? Can you, now how long, you was in there, about an hour, huh? I had one too. Can you imagine being like, if it's a great white shark, so he's in that great white shark for 3 days, like an MRI. Well, what did he do? Well, chapter 2 tells us, he prayed. And he prayed and prayed and prayed. That's what I did during my MRI. I don't know what you guys did. Then I fell asleep and woke myself up snoring, but I remember I couldn't even move in there. So can you imagine? Just picture that. The MRI, but you're inside a great white shark. Or if you believe the whale, go right ahead. But guess what? Jonah's experience was used by Christ himself. If you want to, you could turn to Matthew chapter 12. I'm going to read that. But while you're turning there, I just wanted to tell you that if you didn't know this, that this miraculous event has been debated for centuries, that it's not true. Did you know that? That it's fiction, that it's a dream, it was a legend, it was a fairy tale, a parable, whatever. But it really didn't happen like that. No, it couldn't happen. No, nobody could live in the side of a whale for... I said whale. Great white shark. We said whale all of our life as little kids, didn't we? I'm sticking to great white shark, Emily. Emily thinks it was a whale shark. But anyway, Matthew chapter 12, verse 39. Look at Christ. This is what I say to these scientists and theologians, some of them, that want to disprove this, that this didn't happen. This was a parable or something. Verse 39. But Jesus replied, "Only an evil, faithless generation would ask for a miraculous sign. But the only sign I will give them is the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was in the belly of the great fish, or great white shark, for 3 days and three nights, so I, the Son of Man, will be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. The people of Nineveh will raise up against this generation on judgment day and condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah." Uh-oh, that ruins the end of the story, verse chapter 3. "And now someone greater than Jonah is here, and you refuse to repent." So, we can tell by Jonah's prayer, if you didn't read this prayer, yes, chapter 2. How am I doing on time? I think I'm going to skip reading that whole prayer just for time's sake. But I want to point out this. If you read that prayer, and when you go home, we're going to skip chapter 2 because it's just a prayer of Jonah's. When you read that, you'll find out that Jonah did not swallowed up by the great white shark or the whale or whatever right away. He sank. He was drowning. He could have, some people believe he could have died. I don't know. I wasn't there. But whatever, if you read that prayer, he was close to death because he talks about it. He talks about how he had seaweed wrapped around him. He was sinking deep, 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 deep to the black of the ocean. And then the great fish came. Because we always seen the picture of him, they throwing him over and there's a whale just comes and grabs him. It wasn't like that at all if you read chapter 2. And I wish we had time, but I wanted to finish the book tonight, so we're going to skip that. But just know that this prayer is a prayer of thanksgiving. It's not a prayer of deliverance. He was thankful that he was alive, that he didn't drown. And if you read that chapter 2, you will find that out. So please read it at home, or you can read it while I'm talking. So Jonah's story began with a tragedy. But greater tragedy would have happened if God had allowed him to keep running. That would have been the greater tragedy. God is so merciful, we see, that he spared him. He worked out this miracle. You know, when you know that God wants you to do something, don't run, you guys. Think about this. I want you to think about this hard tonight. God may not stop you as he did Jonah. God gave Jonah a second chance to participate in his work. You know, if you're here tonight and you feel like, you know, Don, I'm really hearing it. I feel like I did that in my life. I ran from God. I told him no myself and I never corrected that. Guess what? God is a God of second chances. He did it for Jonah. He'll do it for you. And don't ever forget that. All you got to do is humbly come back to him and ask him to forgive you. And he's ready to use you again. He wants to. Look what he did for Jonah. slapped him alongside the head to straighten him up to get back in line, didn't he? He'll do it for you. So don't ever think that you crossed the line. That you, God could never use me because I just he wanted me to do this or that and I didn't do it. No. God is a God of second chances. He's a God of mercy. He's a God of grace. He's a God of love. And I hope you see that in this book tonight. If you're sitting there, you just might have another chance. I hope you get that tonight. I know God wanted me to tell that to somebody. Maybe myself. Because he's surely given me more than one chance. Chapter 3. Then the Lord spoke to Jonah a second time. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh and deliver this message I have given you. This time Jonah obeyed the Lord's command and went to Nineveh, a city so large that it took him 3 days to see it all. You know, if you were in the belly of a great white shark or whale, you might obey this time too, wouldn't you? Especially if you were in that position like a MRI for 3 days, not 3 hours, not 1 hour. Can you even imagine that? I don't think he was walking around in there like we saw in Sunday school, you know. Had lit up the candle, you know. And, you know, he's sitting there eating fried shrimp and stuff. It wasn't like that. I think he was miserable. I think he wanted to repent after that. What do you guys think, huh? So, here we got this crazy man. He's got seaweed wrapped around his head. Acid from the fish's stomach has definitely bleached his face white. Skin's white. His clothes are probably half eaten from that acid. And he comes into this city and he says, repent. What would you do? Repent. That's what the Ninevites did. They repented. Look at verse 4. On that day, Jonah entered the city and he shouted to the crowds, 40 days from now, Nineveh will be destroyed. The people of Nineveh believed God's message. And from the greatest to the last, they declared a fast and put on burlap to show their sorrow. When the king of Nineveh heard what Jonah was saying, he stepped down from his throne and took off his royal robes. He dressed himself in burlap and sat on the heap of ashes. Then the king and his nobles sent the decree throughout the city. No one, not even the animals from their herds and flocks, may eat or drink anything at all. People and animals alike must wear garments of mourning, and everyone must pray earnestly to God. They must turn from their evil ways and stop all their violence. Who can tell? Perhaps even yet God will change his mind and hold back his fierce anger from destroying us. When God saw what they had done and how they put a stop to their evil ways, he changed his mind and did not carry out the destruction he had threatened. You see, God's word is for everybody. Despite the wickedness of the Ninevite people, they were open to God's message, repented immediately. If we simply proclaim God's word, whether it's at school, at work, to our neighbor, we might be surprised what God will do and that he might save them people. Because you see, God saves people. You know, I've heard so many people tell me sometimes, well, you know, Don, the reason I just don't witness and testify like you do is because I don't know if I can save anybody. Yeah, you're right. You can't save anybody. God does the saving. I wish people would get that out of their head. God just wants to use you as an instrument. He wants you to open up your mouth and he'll do the rest. That's what he did with Jonah, didn't he? He doesn't say you have to be a preacher. He just wants you to yield to him. He wants you to listen to him. He wants you to obey him. It's no more than that. And I will tell you this. If you will do that, and you will just simply pray when you go out into wherever you go, whether it's to the mall, whether it's to the gym, whether it's to your work, and you pray and ask God, God, use me today. I make myself available to you. He will. I guarantee you that 100% that He will use you. You will sit around and start waiting for it to happen. You're like, is this the one? Because he wants to. But most people are chicken. And they don't want to pray that prayer. Because he might use me. He might make me say something. I don't know the Bible. You know what? Tell him what you know. Tell him what you know. That's all you got to do. That's all Jonah had to do. You know, I'm not so sure he said many words except repent when he was looking like he was. Huh? When he seen this guy, you know, he probably had some fish crawling out of his ear, you know. This guy all bleached white said, repent. That's all he had to say. And people started, oh my gosh, the Lord is coming, you know. You don't have to preach a sermon. Just be able to be ready to be used by God. You know, I've talked about that. The purpose of God's judgment, I want you to get this. The purpose of God's judgment is correction. That's what it was. Not revenge. He is always ready to show compassion to anyone willing to seek Him. This is the best story of that. These people were wicked. I mean, I don't have time to go, but if you want to study some history, they were wicked people. But God spared them because they yield to Him. And so if we just seek Him, you never know what He'll do to the most wicked person. We're going to see at the end some more of this, if you're ready for chapter 4 now. This change of plans greatly upset Jonah, and he became very angry. So he complained to the Lord about it. Didn't I say before I left home that you would do this, Lord? That is why I ran away to Tarshish. I knew that you are a merciful and compassionate God, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. You are eager to turn back from destroying people. Just kill me now, Lord. I'd rather be dead than alive if what I predicted will not happen. The Lord replied, is it right for you to be angry about this? Wow, there's so much right there. I can't believe he says this stupid stuff to God. But I'm sure we have said some stupid stuff like that too. How do we act when God shows mercy to people? How do you react? Do you react like Noah did here? Jonah, I said no. You know, I knew I was going to say that. I said to myself, I hope I don't say Noah during and Jonah, mix them up. They do sound alike, don't they? We think that people deserve punishment. You know, but if we are resentful, it may indicate that we have forgotten how much the Lord has forgiven us. You know, I think that's what happened to Mr. Jonah. I think he forgot how merciful God was to him. And he had so much hatred and bitterness in his heart towards these people that he didn't want God to save him. He wanted God to destroy him. Isn't it crazy that he said, That's why I ran. I knew you were going to do this. Can you believe that he said that to God? That's one of my funniest lines in the Bible, I think, that he said that to God. It's like, that's why I ran. Don't you know God knew that? That's why he had to teach him this lesson. It's funny that Jonah was probably worried more about himself and his reputation than all these people. Because you heard what he said? He said, might as well just kill me if what I predicted is not going to come true. He was worried more about his reputation and what he said than thousands of people being saved. Isn't that crazy? This is a man of God. This ain't some just ordinary guy. This is a prophet of God. Isn't that crazy? You know, I look at this and I see that there's hope for us, huh? Because we've done things like that. We've gotten jealous. I don't know about some of you were here about, must have been 2-3 months ago. I preached a sermon on ministry envy. You know, I see that right here. He's envious. that God's going to show mercy to these people. Instead of applauding and being happy, yay, God, what a God of great mercy. No, he's mad at God that he's not going to destroy these people. Pretty crazy. Verse 5. When Jonah went out to the east side of the city and made shelter to sit under as he waited to see what would happen to the city, and the Lord God arranged for a leafy plant to grow there. And soon it spread its broad leaves over Jonah's head, shading him from the sun. This eased his discomfort, and Jonah was very grateful for the plant. Now, notice how God's ministering kindly and tenderly to Jonah. He gives him shade. He didn't have to do that, did he? But God, just like he did with Jonah there, how he was so merciful and kind to the Ninevites and to Israel, his chosen people. And just like he is to you and me. Verse 7. But God also arranged for a worm. The next morning, at dawn, the worm ate through the stem of the plant so that it withered away. And as the sun grew hot, God arranged for a scorching east wind to blow on Jonah. The sun beat down on his head until he grew faint and wished to die. There he is, whining again. Death is certainly better than living like this, he exclaimed. Jonah was angry at the withering vine, but not over what would happen to Nineveh or what could happen to him, was he? How easy it is to be more sensitive to our own interests than to be the spiritual needs of other people around us, huh? We get so caught up in ourselves that we don't see other people hurting in their interests, in their souls. Verse 9. Then God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry because the plant died?" Yes. What a character, huh? Jonah said, "Even angry enough to die." Then the Lord said, "You feel sorry about the plant, though you did nothing to put it there. It came quickly and died quickly. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people living in spiritual darkness. In a lot of Bibles, maybe yours says, who cannot tell their right hand from their left." Which it's translated that would have been children. Not to mention all the animals. Shouldn't I feel sorry, concerned for such a great city? And the book ends. Wow. What a way to leave our buddy Mr. Jonah, huh? Think about it. God was ready to spare Sodom and Gomorrah for 10 righteous people. How much more for 120,000 small children? But Jonah, he didn't care. Sometimes we wish that judgment would come upon sinful people whose wickedness seemed to demand immediate punishment. I ask, how about you? Are you quick to do that? Let me confess before you tonight. I am. I could tell you this book. I'm probably going to get emotional here. Really convicted me. Because I could tell you, I'm a rough man. Some of you don't know me, but I was a sergeant in the Army. And I don't take kindly for injustice. I'm quick to want to rip somebody's head apart that's doing something wrong and terrible. I confess that to you. I said with my lips that the man that went into the theater and killed all those innocent people in that theater over a year ago, that I would have snapped his head just like this. I confess that to you. That's me. And so don't you know that God really dealt with me preaching this? I never saw his mercy. And I can't I don't believe that God deserves that mercy that did that. I can tell you I probably still would kill him. Maybe I need to go inside the belly of a whale or a great white shark. I can't find it in my heart to be merciful to a man that would do such a thing. If you can, you're a much better Christian than me. Because I can't. Even going through this book and studying it, I see my sin and I ask God to forgive my wickedness. But I still am wired that I could do that. And God forgive me. And I hope you all forgive me that I have such thoughts. But I hate that injustice like that. And I know God does too. In His time, He'll take care of it. He doesn't need Don Unrein to do it. I know that. That's what I've learned through this. Because I want to do it for Him. I would like to be the guy on the dark horse and come with a sword and cut people's head off. That's me. I'm sorry. I have that in me that I could do that because I just hate wickedness. I want you to know so you don't throw me out of the church. I only feel that way against bad people, okay? Yeah, I just do. I'm just wired that way that if somebody came in here right now, it'd be over my dead body that he would hurt any of yous. And so I don't know if I'm... Sometimes I think I'm right. Well, God would want me to be like that, you know. But when I look at it, you know, Peter was like that. You remember he took out his sword and he cut the guy's ear off. That would have been me that night. It would have been over my dead body that they would have took Jesus. And he would have corrected me. Donnie, I don't need you to do that. Put that sword away. I'm going to go die for you anyway. This is all arranged. And sometimes I want to help God because I see so much evil in our country and so much wickedness. I want to help Him just destroy people. You're all looking at me like, God, that guy is terrible. That's how I feel right now. Hey, I'm admitting it. I don't know if anybody's big enough that you would, that maybe you're like that too. I don't think God wants us to be like that. You know, I knew a man once. This come from right on the spot. I'm going to close with this. I knew a man once that there was a man that, well, I got to back up the story. And that laid the root to this right here. Way long ago, I was in the Army and I was, I think I was in Alabama. But anyway, I met this man and he told me a story that's, I just couldn't believe like a man could do such a thing. But he found out, he got a call. His mom was a nurse at a home for disabled and mentally challenged people. And she would bring sometimes them home for a weekend and stuff. And anyway, he got a call that his mom had been murdered. And he said that he came and he saw his mom. And it was so frightening because her hands were up protecting her. She was stabbed multiple times with a knife. And they went and they got this one guy that she had brought home several times. And they thought he was the murderer. And he said he didn't. But this man told me that he went to prison and he wasn't mad at him. He forgave him and he believed him. And he went years and years and years and saw this man in prison and he was on death row. They convicted him for murder. And it was like almost 20 years later that they found out through DNA testing, which wasn't back then. This is a long time ago story, that it wasn't him. But I would have killed that man myself 10 times is what I'm saying. That's the story. And how this man showed mercy and believed him. When all the evidence pointed to this guy. He had blood on him. I guess he went and found her, the story. I don't want to bore you. But the point is, God wants us to be so merciful. Because He is. He doesn't need us to be judgmental and be a judge. And convictor and executor, does he? And maybe you have done that to someone. Maybe someone's hurt you and you were judge and jury and executor because they wronged you. I ask that you would get that right with God tonight. No matter how deep that hurt is, God wants to restore you and forgive you. And wants you to be merciful and loving and kind like He is. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your word. It's so awesome. That teaches us, that convicts us, that guides us, that leads us, that instructs us, that helps us to be more like you. So that others might see you in us. Lord God, help us to be that. Forgive us of our sins and our shortcomings. Lord God, we want to be more like you. We want people to see you in us. Thank you for your mercy, for your grace as we sang that wonderful song earlier. I just praise you and I thank you for this wonderful book of Jonah. What multiple lessons we can learn from it, Lord God. I pray that as we go out tonight that we could apply it to our life and be a doer of your word and not a hearer only. You ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.